Let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Ephesians 5:33. I am Rob West. Love and respect are often conveyed in the words that spouses choose to communicate. Those words can have a big impact on the marriage relationship. Kathleen Edelman joins us today to talk about choosing the right words for your spouse. And then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome back Kathleen Edelman. She's the author of the very popular book, I Said This, You Heard That, How Your Wiring Colors Your Communication. Kathleen, great to see you again.
Great to see you, Rob. So excited about today.
Well, I am as well. This is a very important topic, yes. And I'm sure you won't be surprised that we get a ton of questions from people where communication is tripping them up. It surfaces around a money issue, mm-hmm. but we know it's so much deeper than that, and you're going to help us understand that a bit more today. Kathleen, as you know, communication styles affect all manner of relationships, but we're talking specifically about couples today. So how do these different styles affect intimacy in the marriage relationship?
Well, what's interesting, and I've done this for a long time, is what we find out is that communication styles are the key. So I said this, you heard that. It's the title of the book.
Right.
That's how it affects it.
Right.
I mean, in between what I say and what my spouse says, because he's a different temperament, there's a big gray area. So each temperament speaks its own language. And in order to become fluent in the other temperament languages, we have to apply it. And that's the only way we're going to reduce that gray area.
Mm. Kathleen's going to unpack this today, and you're going to learn a lot, but you need to pick up a copy of this book, I Said This, You Heard That. That has the inventory that will help you understand your temperament that you can apply to all of this. Now, Kathleen, if we're not careful, we can fall into communication traps. So let's talk about some of those traps that are just so common and how we avoid them.
Right out of the gate is assumption. You assume that another person speaks and understands your language. Mm. Well, that's not true. We each speak our own language, and we have to become fluent in that language. Not staying in your strengths. If you are working out of your weaknesses, well, that's on you first. Mm. So one of the activities that I talk about in the book and I help my clients is, first and foremost, we have to ask, I have a tendency to be bossy, distracted, you know, critical. What can I choose differently so that I first and foremost can stay in my strengths? Because what we know is most miscommunication is not intentional.
Mm.
You're just speaking a different language.
Yes. And what we don't realize is that our words have incredible power, and that's really what you've mm-hmm. dedicated your professional career to, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Ephesians 4:29.
Mm.
That's it.
I love it. Now, listening skills are critical, and talking to myself here, so give us some help here. How do we improve our listening skills? Because when we can hone these in particular, boy, it really eases the tension, especially when we have disagreement.
Well, this is a funny answer, but it's use them. You know, it's funny because I have a stair step. You accept your temperament, you're aware of it, you apply it, and you become authentic, the person that God designed you to be, where every single person has an issue is in application. So some of the key skills of listening to understand, power of the pause, not reacting to the what, but responding to the why. None of those are going to be skills unless they're used. So what I teach is everybody can just talk. I teach communication, which is the exchange of thoughts and emotions, but I even take it further, Rob, art of communication. I want every word that comes out of your mouth to be a gift to the person that you're speaking to.
Mm. Boy, that would be a game changer if we could get to that place.
Yeah.
And I don't think it needs to be too lofty. We need to pursue that. Now, it's bigger than just the words that come out of your mouth, though, because the nonverbal side of communication is equally as powerful.
Absolutely. And even the nonverbal comes from the wiring of your temperament.
Mm.
Everything you do is motivated by that design that God gave you. So I'm reserved, you're spirited, knowing that, right out of the gate, we're going to be able to work with it.
Wow. Kathleen Edelman's here today. We're helping you improve your communication in marriage. We're going to get to how your temperaments affect your money decisions and your marital communication as well. Then we're going to take your calls ahead, 800-525-7000. Back with Kathleen Edelman after this. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Today is Valentine's Day. Hopefully, husbands, if this is news to you, it's not too late to be intentional about the way you express your love to your bride. Holidays matter, so do anniversaries, but all the days in between do as well. And so, may we listen well to the words of the Apostle Paul and not let our love grow cold. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Truly, when you love and serve your wife in his name, you're giving the watching world a little glimpse into the heart of our Savior for his bride, the church. And we'll grow in our walks with Christ through daily time in God's Word. And Anchor Devotional can help. Try it out today. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This weekend on The Stan Radio, M.D. Perkins talks about America's changing attitudes towards so-called same-sex marriage and how churches can respond.
I think there's a lot of dangers for Christians in the years ahead, and we have to walk carefully, we have to be wise, but we also have to be clear about what the Bible really does say about this.
The Stan Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Have you found yourself disagreeing with your spouse and perhaps the communication then leads to frustration or worse? Well, we want to help you with that today, and we brought in the expert. Kathleen Edelman is here today. She's the author of the very popular book, I Said This, You Heard That, How Your Wiring Colors Your Communication. Now, before we dive right back into marital communication, Kathleen, just give us a thumbnail sketch of the book, what they'll learn, but then more importantly, the temperament exercise that will be a game changer.
Well, the book is going to show you how God designed you in that strengths of that temperament is your calling and purpose. One thing I would think would be a loss if we thought we would label people. Mm. We don't label or put people in a box, but you cannot look at your spouse for, I've been married for 37 years, and not realize that they're different.
Yeah.
So again, it's understanding the skills of communication and listening, but in the framework of temperaments in Ephesians 4:29.
Mm. And I love what you said before the break. What if we could get to a place where every word that came out of our mouth was a blessing to our spouse, to the person that we love? And we can do that if we lean into it and learn some skills in doing it. All right, let's continue to unpack this. You know, putting yourself in the other person's shoes is essential. So talk about how we can nurture empathy toward one another, especially in communication and especially when there's disagreement.
Well, I'm going to tell you the answer because it's what separates me from every assessment out there. And that is the innate needs of each temperament. Okay. Each temperament has their own strengths and weaknesses, has their own language, but it's in the innate needs. Just like Paul challenges us, do not let any unwholesome words come out of your mouth, only building others up according to their needs. So knowing those needs, game changer. Know the needs. The definitions are in the book that I've collected over 30 years. I highly coach people to know themselves first because you cannot give what you don't have. And then it changes everything. It's a game changer. You know, I know you're yellow.
Yeah.
I'm blue. I cannot unknow that now. So I have to take into consideration your innate needs when I'm speaking to you.
Yeah.
Or I'm intentionally not speaking so you can hear me.
Right.
Like, that would be a choice.
Yes.
And I'm going to choose to love you better.
Yeah. Well, you know that because I'm sanguine, I'm motivated by people and fun. My wife likes to say, he's the wow, I'm the how.
Yeah, exactly. See, that right there is already going to help you in conflict because it gives you grace and it gives you almost ability to celebrate another person.
Yeah. Right? Well, it does change marriage communication, but it's so much bigger than that as well. All right. What about that spouse who's outgoing versus the other spouse that tends to withdraw, especially during a disagreement? How do they learn to communicate effectively?
Well, again, this isn't even just a disagreement about money. This is a disagreement about parenting, about where we're going to live, you know, what we're going to eat tonight, right? Yeah. So one of the communication skills that I try to teach people, other than the power of the pause, which is one of my favorites, is validating, complimenting, and speaking the other person's language. Mm-hmm. We have to validate. We as a society love to blame. It's your fault, you know, you didn't understand me, you're not listening, da da da. Okay, that could be true, but it can be fixable. And the first thing we have to do is ask ourselves, again, an activity that I do with my clients is, ask what part did I play? Not you hurt my feelings, or you offended me, or you, It's what part did I play and what could I have said or done differently?
Yeah. Keep the focus on yourself for sure. Well, as we know, Kathleen, a lot of marital disagreements are about money. So let's begin to apply this then to the money conversation. How do the way couples communicate and, as you said, their temperaments, which are embedded in that, affect their ability to manage money together?
Well, the first and foremost thing is you have to understand where the motive with money is. You know, for yellows, it's going to be they want to be generous, but they want to be secure. They want to save, but they don't want to stifle their spontaneity, right? The reds are going to have goals. They want to be part of the decision making. They want to have an end result. You know, the blues are going to be financially scared of security. Like, they're going to be like, if I give this much, am I going to be able to save this much, right? And then the greens are going to want balance. So they're going to want to balance savings, giving, you know, all of that. So even knowing the motivation from each temperament should absolutely change every conversation.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and it's that answer perhaps that you were looking for, because when you can't understand why your spouse is willing to spend money on that and you would rather save it every day of the week, that can lead to frustration unless you understand, wait a minute, that's how they're wired. And so I can look at this through that lens. It doesn't mean we don't need to each give, you know, in some cases, but it does provide understanding. And that's the building block to getting to healthy communication.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we just have to. We have to take that pause.
Now, spouses, of course, can grow apart over the years as they grow through life changes. So how can they maintain this effective, positive communication to keep marriage strong later in life?
You're going to love this answer. Right. Because right in Scripture, God says, in marriage, there'll be trials. Okay, so right out of the gate, when you were at the altar, we knew that the good and the bad, right? What I tell people, though, is I want them to stay in dating mode. Like, when you were dating your wife, you threw the best of you on the table. Yeah. You threw your strengths on the table. If I was to ask her right now, what are the two things of why Rob was the guy? You know, she's probably going to say something like, he was fun. He was spontaneous, right? He made me laugh. We not only threw the best on the table, but we looked for the best in the other person. Mm. And then what happens is we get married. And then time goes by and we become content. And then guess what rears its head when you become content? Mm. Weaknesses.
Yeah.
And as the weaknesses rear their head, then all of a sudden you start to change that person or want to change that person to be more like you. Mm. And then it's going to blow up. Then all of a sudden you're going down two different paths. So I really, really encourage people to go back to the time they were dating and stay in dating mode.
Yeah,
that's really what's going to save a marriage, help with decisions, show a great example for your children, is if you can remember why.
Yeah.
Why from the beginning.
Kathleen, you've been doing this a long time, and so you've helped a lot of couples work through these issues. What's the big win on the other side of this? If you're willing to invest the time to understand one another's temperaments, what's the win for the relationship?
I think, Rob, it's when somebody says and knows they've gotten to that point of authenticity, because then it's freedom. Yeah. Now you're being exactly who God designed you to be. You're not trying to be anything else. You are showing up, and the words you're using are building others up according to their needs and benefiting all who listen. You know, there's over 120 verses on words in Scripture. Mm. And so when you get there into that authenticity, no longer are you looking side to side, but you're honoring God with your words.
This has been so good. We're going to have you back, Kathleen, but I'm so thankful for your ministry, the work you've put into this, and for this great resource. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
That was Kathleen Edelman, author of I Said This, You Heard That, How Your Wiring Colors Your Communication. You can pick up a copy wherever you buy books. All right, folks, your questions just around the corner, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob Weston. You're listening to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Still a lot more to come. Stay right here.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Faith Fi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance, right here on American Family Radio, helping you manage God's money one day, $1 at a time, but always in light of biblical truth. I'm Rob West, looking forward to taking your calls and questions today. Boy, what a treat, though, to have Kathleen Edelman here. If you want to pick up that workbook, Julie and I have been through it. It was a game changer for us to bring that understanding to bear. And by the way, our friend Shanti Feldhahn, who's the Harvard researcher, she wrote the book Thriving in Love and Money. And by the way, this is a very appropriate topic here on Valentine's Day. One of the three keys she found to overcoming conflict in marriage over money is this idea of understanding. Yeah, you need communication, and she also found that you need cushion. You need to live below your means, but understanding was key. That includes how you were raised, your upbringing as it relates to money, what was modeled for you, how abundant or scarce money was. But understanding also has to do with our wiring, and that's what Kathleen was really dialing into today, understanding our temperaments and then how those temperaments, our God-given innate wiring and temperaments, affect how we view money. And when we understand ourselves and when we understand those we love, we can look at it through their lens and be a blessing and come together. And I think it allows us to find more common ground. By the way, Kathleen wrote a great article for us in issue 2 coming out in early May, issue 2 of Faithful Steward, where she really unpacks at a deeper level each of the temperaments, and there's a little mini assessment in there that you can take in Faithful Steward. Find your temperament, and then you'll understand exactly how you relate to money, but you can also use it to apply to others. So maybe your spouse or a loved one, and be able to see, how does this play out in their life as it relates to money decisions? And, oh, that's why they do that or want to do this or don't want to go there. And so I think it'll be helpful if you'd like to pick up a copy of Faithful Steward. We'll deliver it to you 4 issues a year when you're a FaithFi partner. And you can do that at faithfi.com. Just click give. In fact, we just launched our new partner page. So if you go to faithfi.com right now and click give, you'll see our new partner page that basically shares the story of why you might want to become a partner to help us reach more people. But you'll also see the resources that you'll get during the year as a partner. You can see Faithful Steward, the magazine, and what the first issue looks like. You can see our upcoming study, which you would receive pre-release, Wisdom Over Wealth, the study on the book of Ecclesiastes, as well as the FaithFi app. All that available, faithfi.com. Just click give. But boy, what a treat to have Kathleen with us today. She's a good friend, and she has a lot to share. All right, here on a Valentine's Day, we're going to be taking your calls and questions on, yep, you guessed it, money. Anything financial is in play today. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. All right, let's dive in today. We're going to begin in Georgia. Hi, Bobby. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, and to you as well.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I enjoy your show often and appreciate your advice.
Thank you.
I am a widow, and I am preparing my final arrangements. And I have no debt, excellent credit, savings accounts, annuities, life insurance policies. My home is paid for and things of that nature, and a couple of vehicles. I have no extended family living except for my 21-year-old grandson. And I, excuse me, I don't think that he's really capable or responsible enough to handle my final arrangements or my home or my assets once I leave. So my question is, I've been doing some homework, and I've been looking at whether doing a quit claim and going ahead and putting him on my home or doing a transfer of ownership at death. going ahead and designating the funeral home life insurance policy, and just really looking for the safest financial tools to set up my assets that my grandson will be able to receive my assets without government inherited tax or tied up in probate court with a will.
Got it. Yeah, very good. Well, Bobby, that was a really helpful description. First of all, well done. It sounds like you are in a great spot. No debt, life insurance, annuity, guaranteed income, house paid for. You're starting to think about, I'm sure you've already been thinking about, but continuing to think about wealth transfer. And it's this key question that you're hitting on. You didn't voice it, but it's in everything you're saying. And that is the next steward chosen and prepared? And there's both sides of that equation that we need to solve for. Who is it, and are they prepared? And that steward could be a ministry or a charity like American Family Association. Well, they're prepared to do God's work, but maybe it's an heir. In this case, you're talking about your grandson. Is he prepared to handle this money? Maybe not. Maybe not yet. Maybe he will be down the road. We actually tackle this in an article in Faithful Steward in this first issue around wisdom over wealth. And when you look at the Council of Ecclesiastes, you see this idea that both wisdom and wealth are good, but wisdom is the only one that preserves. And if wealth grows faster than wisdom, we're in a danger zone. And so we want wisdom to outpace wealth in terms of its growth. And then we're ready to steward those resources so they don't push him down a path neither you or I want him to go. And there are tools to help with that. So a couple of thoughts. Should you do a TOD? Normally, if you just want to pass the asset directly outside of probate, a transfer on death deed can be great. So that could be a good tool. I would not put him on the house as a through a quit claim deed because that's going to cause him to inherit the cost basis of when you originally purchased it. And so he will have capital gains tax when he sells it versus if he gets it through after your death as an inheritance, there is a stepped up basis, which just means the cost basis that determines capital gains steps up to the market value of the property as of the date of death, which means if he turns around and sells it, there is no capital gains. And by the way, there's no federal inheritance tax, and your estate has to be more than $13 million before there's any estate taxes. So you should be in good shape. Now, after the break, though, Bobby, I want to hit on this idea of you thinking he's not ready. There's a tool that's designed just for that purpose that could, I think, take care of everything you're looking for. I'll share that just around the corner. We'll be right back.
In rural Malawi, baby Esther was taken in by her grandparents when her mother died. Resources were scarce, and Esther suffered from malnutrition for years until God transformed her life. Today, through Cross International, Esther receives nutritious meals, drinks clean water, and is taught about the hope found only in Jesus. But other children are still waiting. Make an eternal impact on a child now with a $62 gift at crossinternational.org/faith.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Imagine having biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox every week, helping you integrate your faith and financial decisions for the glory of God. At faithfi.com, you can join a community of over 70,000 people who are already receiving our weekly wisdom email, filled with articles, videos, podcasts, and exclusive offers on resources that will deepen your understanding of biblical stewardship. Start your journey today by creating your FaithFi account at faithfi.com. Just click sign up.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're so glad you're along with us today. We're taking your calls and questions here, 800-525-7000. We'll be joined in just a moment in the next segment by Walker Wildman and Jerry Boyer. It's Friday. We'll get their update on the markets and find out what's new in corporate engagement as AFA uses its position as a shareholder in some of the biggest corporations in America to reflect Christian values, engage with company leadership around Judeo-Christian values. We'll hear more about that straight ahead. In the meantime, we've been talking to Bobby in Georgia. Before the break, she shared that she's a widow. She's completely debt-free, has income sources nailed down. She does not have living relatives to pass her assets to, apart from a grandson who she does not believe is prepared to handle the inheritance right now. She was considering a quitclaim deed on the house or a TOD deed. And I was sharing the reasons why you wouldn't want to do the quitclaim deed and give it to him now so you wouldn't skip the step up in cost basis. But even the TOD deed, given that you said you don't think he's prepared for it, Bobby, that would, you know, cause the home and any other assets in your will to pass to him immediately, after your passing. If it had a TOD deed, it would skip probate. But the key is he ready for it? And I think the tool that you may be looking for is a revocable trust. You would visit with an estate planning attorney, a godly estate planning attorney at that, and they would put a revocable trust in place. You could change the parameters of the trust at any time, Bobby. So, you know, if the Lord has a lot more time for you here and, you know, a decade from now, you believe your grandson is ready, you could have everything passed to him right away. But what that would allow you to do is to select a corporate or a professional trustee that would manage the assets of the trust outside of probate. It wouldn't go through probate, but it would allow that trustee to pass those assets according to your wishes. So maybe it happens as he reaches a certain age or over time or when he graduates from college, or, you know, you can specify how and when he receives that money, and that professional trustee would be the one to actually do that. Now, if at any point you felt like you were ready for him to receive it all at your passing, well, then you just update the trust accordingly. But I think that solves for everything you're looking for, keeping it outside of probate, making sure he receives any assets as an inheritance so you get the step up in basis, and to be able to designate the time and place of your choosing when he would receive any portion of the estate as a distribution. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. It sure does. I really appreciate it. I had thought about using that and just wasn't sure if it was really what, it, you know, you hear so much of so many different kinds of trust. But
yes,
the revocable trust was the one I was gearing towards.
Good. All right. If you don't have a godly estate attorney, you could reach out to a CKA in your area and ask for a referral. They'd all have one that they work with. Just go to faithfi.com and click find a professional. Thank you for calling. May the Lord bless you today. Let's see. We're going to head to Texas and welcome Kes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Pastor, good morning. My question is it ideal for husband and wife to use the same checking account, and how do we manage such to avoid conflict?
Yes, it's a great question, because, you know, this is something that comes up a lot. We've actually, you know, dealt with this a good bit on the program over the years. You know, here's the reality, is that two become one flesh in marriage, and that includes everything. That includes, you know, your finances as well. And so I think, you know, having one account as opposed to separate is really going to foster the kind of unity that you're looking for. Because so often when we keep everything separate, it really begins to foster or develop the mine and yours mentality. But when we put everything together and we have jointly set goals, starting with our values, and then we create a spending plan that reflects those deeply held values and priorities as Christ followers and where God is leading you as a couple and as a family. And then the money, the spending plan is actually how you work that out, because money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And you do that jointly. That really then promotes the trust by making sure there's no hidden purchases. And, you know, we're looking at this as something that really is for the two of us as one flesh. You know, you remain individuals, but marriage really is a partnership that requires that trust and openness and communication. And God's design is, of course, unity. So how do you go there if one spouse is just resistant or hesitant? Well, I think the first thing is to make sure that both of you are on the same page, that the jointly held assets with joint accounts, not separate, and a spending plan that you all work on together is not about controlling anyone or limiting anyone. It really is about finding God's heart for you as a couple and seeing money as a tool and then pursuing what God has for you together and working on it together. Now, there's probably going to be one bookkeeper, the person that's more administratively and detail-oriented, first. And then secondly, I would say there's still room in that spending plan for each of your unique personalities and interests and passions to be reflected. It's not like you're trying to just control everything. But at the same time, I do recommend that you bring everything together, because the moment you start saying, well, that's your money and this is mine and you pay those expenses and I'll pay these, it just doesn't foster that unity that I think God desires. Does that make sense, though?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Let me do this. I'd like to send you a book, Kes, that I think perhaps maybe you ask your wife, say, listen, honey, I'd like to just explore God's heart for how we can have more unity with regard to every facet of our marriage, but certainly including this area of money management. And there's a book that Howard Dayton wrote, my good friend and mentor and former host of this program. It's called Money and Marriage, God's Way. And if you and your wife would commit to reading that together, maybe you go through it, you know, every week you do a different chapter or something, and then talk about it. I think that may paint a picture for the unity in marriage that I'm describing and give you a roadmap for the mechanics of what that looks like. And I think if you start with your values and priorities and then, you know, allow the money management to be a reflection of that, and you use Money and Marriage God's Way as kind of the course that you'll chart to get there, I think it'll be a blessing to you. So you stay on the line, Kes. We'll get your information and we'll get that book right out to you. We appreciate your call today, sir. God bless you. Quickly to Maine. Hi, Michelle. Go ahead.
Hello, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am questioning about tithing. I received an inheritance, and I'm wondering if I should tithe the 10% right up front, or if I could invest it and then tithe as I withdrew the money.
Yes. Yeah. So did you receive the inheritance as cash or as stocks and bonds?
Property. It was a 6-unit apartment building.
Okay, got it. You know, at the end of the day, Michelle, this is between you and the Lord. What I would say is, if you feel convicted around giving a tithe on the money, and this is just my personal opinion, this is not the right answer by any means, but if you feel convicted about making a tithe and you receive it as liquid assets, I just go ahead and give it as unto the Lord right off the top. I think you would feel better about it being a true act of worship rather than waiting. But I've got to take a break, so stay on the line. We'll finish up off the air. We'll be right back.
We're going to talk about the further issue, our response, who's behind this.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest. Insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls. Because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at afr.net.
You can have all the time in the world if the Holy Spirit isn't working in your heart and you haven't dealt with grief. You've just buried it like toxic waste underneath the surface. It may seem to be gone, but it will come back to haunt you sometime in the future.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his message, Happy Are the Hurting, on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point, Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, here on a Friday in our final segment, it's time to check in with our good friend Jerry Boyer. He's our resident economist. He's CEO of Boyer Research. He's a regular contributor here on this program, and you'll find him active on social media as well. And in just a moment, Walker Wildman will stop by as well to give us an update on AFA's work in corporate engagement. But Jerry, obviously just so many things swirling here, retail sales, jobs reports. We continue to get earnings. We've got a new reading on inflation that was a little hotter than expected. Just kind of sum this up for us. Where do we find ourselves?
Yeah, so kind of working backwards, the inflation, wholesale and retail inflation were both hotter than expected. So as you know, I've been arguing that it's really not easy to get rid of inflation when you created as much money supply as we did, really coming out of 2020, but even before that. So the enormous amount of money that's been created by the central bank, that just doesn't burn off easily. So inflation is hard to get rid of. And what we found out is that maybe even harder than a lot of economists expected, because it's actually been rising again in January. Now, the political spin, I think Chuck Schumer came out and said, well, this is Trumpflation. Well, it's January. Trump didn't become president until the end of January. That's when he was sworn in, and I don't really think he was making a lot of policy. So I think that belongs to the previous tenant rather than the new guy. On the other hand, the new guy with all these tariffs is kind of playing with fire when it comes to price increases. If you put tariffs, taxes on steel and aluminum imports, then what are you doing? You're increasing the cost of cars, which is why the steel industry says, hey, these tariffs are great. And the auto industry says, no, they're not. You know, that's what we used to make cars out of, and our prices are going up. Regarding earnings, they're kind of mixed. You know, some are doing better, some are doing worse. And what I think the first thing you mentioned was the retail sales today, which was pretty weak. It's down. On the other hand, January, I usually don't take the weather excuse, but January was really cold. So I'm just looking at Jerry and Susan and our buying patterns. We didn't go out quite as much, and we really like the cold. So I think a lot of people didn't do some of that buying in January. So I think we'll have a better idea. February's looking a little more normal. We'll have a better idea whether the consumer is falling off the cliff or not. And the other thing is, in reaction to all this hotter than expected inflation, what do we get? The probability of a rate cut next month, in the past month, has gone from 1 in 4 to 1 in 40.
Yeah.
So now it is considered extremely unlikely that we get a rate cut in the next meeting. Rate cut basically being a kind of fancy way of saying more money creation. So the Fed is saying we are, the Fed has indicated, and the markets are saying they really are probably not going to rescue the economy with easy money. And partly I think that's because, in essence, they don't want to be responsible for the inflation that they think is going to come with the tariffs. So if the president imposes tariffs and then the Fed pumps money into the system, who gets blamed for the inflation? There's going to be an argument about that. And I think Chairman Powell is saying, we're going to keep money supply the way it is right now. And so if there's inflation, it's not us. We didn't do it.
Yeah. Jerry, you and I have been talking about this for a long time now. And what strikes me is how well the markets have held up at these levels, despite the fact that the Fed has very much tempered, you know, to your point, expectations about an upcoming rate cut. That would have, it seemed like a year ago, just really given the market's heartburn. That on top of the fact that, you know, we were priced for a near perfect economic environment, we're certainly not getting that. So given these two realities, are you surprised at how strong the market performance has been?
A little bit, because as I've been arguing for a few years, the Fed is really in charge for the most part. It's the biggest investor. On the other hand, if a president who's this active and aggressive starts to matter again, right? So a passive president, if you've got a president, and again, I'm not taking sides, but let's, arguably the previous president was a little less energetic than the current president. I mean, I'm kind of wondering, since we started this interview to now, have there been another 10 executive orders? And maybe my story's out of date already. So this president is really driving the agenda, which means that I think markets are looking forward to what they think will be a better economy. And I think markets like the election of President Trump. On the other hand, this stuff with the tariffs, they're trying to figure out, what is this? Is this a negotiating tactic? Is this the art of the deal where the president says, we're going to tariff everybody, but if they lift the tariffs on us, we'll lift the tariffs on them? And then you get lower taxes for everybody. And then you get a global golden age rather than just an American golden age. And markets are thinking maybe that's the case. Or maybe he's trying to fundamentally restructure the American economy so that we're going to make all the steel and the aluminum here. But on the other hand, that takes a long, long time to kind of restructure the economy. And in the meantime, what do we make our cars out of? And it increases prices. So I think business is trying to figure out, it's such an uncertain and chaotic environment. What's the president doing? Now, part of his tactic is to keep people guessing, to keep our rivals and opponents guessing. I understand. But he's also keeping everybody guessing at this point, including people who have to run businesses in America that depend on, on imports for some commodities.
Yeah. Well, one more question, then we'll get to Walker Wildman here. Jerry, I'm just interested in your thoughts on the press conference with Elon and President Trump this week. Two things stood out at me. Number one, Elon doesn't do anything, by accident. And the fact that he's bringing his kids with him everywhere he goes tells me he's trying to drive this point that we're not having enough babies. And so he's wanting to single-handedly communicate that we need to increase the birth rate in this country. He's been very outspoken on that. But number two, he doubled down on this idea that I've got you with a trillion and we can get the economy growing at 3-4%, I think he said, and take care of the other trillion and that will balance the budget.
Yeah, a couple things. I love the kid vibe for sure. Historically, I've liked to take my kids to meetings. People have given me odd looks. Too bad. Deal with it. They're part of my life. They're an important part of my life. Ditto for spouses as well. Spouses in meetings, kids in meetings. Families are normal. Get everyone in the ruling class needs to get used to the idea that families are normal. Now, I don't mean to cast stones, but Elon's family life is a little unconventional.
Yeah.
But still, I'm all for the kids, right? We need more kids, and I like that he's doing it. It also sends this signal, not just do we need to get birth rates up, but hey, this is about them.
Yeah.
Right. Because are these kids going to inherit a country that is bankrupt or not?
Yeah.
And that's the motivation. So I love that. Can he do it? I have a friend in common. Peter Thiel knows Musk and I know him. And he always says, don't ever bet against Elon Musk. And I was part of the investment committee for a long short fund that shorted Tesla. Do not bet against Elon Musk is a pretty good rule of thumb. So it looks to me like it's going to be really hard to do to cut that spending. But the president came out with something really interesting yesterday, which is a meeting between China and Russia and the United States, in which we say, let's cut everyone's nuclear arsenal. Let's cut the military, but let's all cut the military budgets. Well, that could make a dent.
Yeah.
Up until now, mainly what Elon has been doing is essentially eviscerating the deep state, right? There's all these ideological groups that pretend to be charities. There are genuine charities, too. But there's groups that are doing comic books for sexual transition in Peru. Come on, that's not international aid.
Yeah.
So they're basically kind of defunding a lot of the left with this stuff. But have they made a dent in the debt? No, not at all. This is symbolic so far.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll certainly continue to watch it. Let's bring Walker into the conversation. Walker, I know there's so many things swirling right now. AFA is really engaged in so many different fronts related to corporate engagement. Give us an update.
Yeah. So I'll be presenting within the next 2 weeks, actually, at both the Apple Corporation annual shareholder meeting, and then I'll be presenting at John Deere on two separate issues. The Apple issue, once again, has to do with protecting minors on Apple devices and specifically in Apple's cloud services. Also, the John Deere has to do with their charitable giving program and ensuring that all charities, even religious charities, are eligible for the employee match that John Deere currently has set up for secular organizations. The other thing that Jerry and I are working on, hopefully we'll have this out in the next few weeks, is a how-to video for listeners that may own shares themselves in various corporations, how they can vote those shares. So that's kind of our next level of activism here. Now that AFA is fully engaged, we want to teach and train the public, people who have investment portfolios and own direct shares in companies, we want to teach them on how to engage at the annual shareholder meeting and vote, and then hopefully at some point actually present their own proposals. But at a minimum, we have to show up and vote. So that's something that we're going to do for grassroots people, and we'll make sure that we announce it here on the program as soon as that resource is available.
That's incredible. I love that. Well, just 45 seconds left. Jerry, I can't think of a better partner for you in that to put a tool like that in people's hands, huh?
Absolutely, because of the radio presence, because of the strong grassroots organization. Let's get a couple of hundred AFA-type folks voting in the annual meetings and actually logging on and asking questions. That's an earthquake. There's already an earthquake going on right now. That would be an earthquake on top of an earthquake in corporate America. And frankly, they need one.
Wow. Well done, gentlemen. So exciting. Can't wait to hear more about that and announce it as soon as it's ready so each of our listeners can jump in there and be educated and start engaging in these company meetings. Yeah, I can imagine, Jerry, all of a sudden we see the phones lighting up on these virtual calls with AFA listeners who own shares expressing Christian values. That would be incredible. Well, gentlemen, thanks for your great work, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. That's Walker Wildman from the American Family Association and Jerry Boyer, our resident economist. They join us each Friday. Well, folks, boy, what a great program today. So appreciate your questions and your calls. Thanks for being along with us today. I hope we've encouraged you in your role as being a faithful steward in managing God's money. I couldn't do this without my team, Sandy Dickinson, Jim Henry, Taylor Stanrich, and Devin Patrick. Everybody here at FaithFi, have a great weekend. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.